Hello, calling for Nestor Aparicio.
This is Nestor.
Hi, this is Dan Fogelberg.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
Pretty good.
I'm sorry we didn't cross paths earlier on the tour there. One time you called me, you got in the wrong time for your manager or something like that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's what had happened, because I know Lori had said something about, you know, you called me before, but
yeah.
You were an hour late from my end anyway. But don't worry, we got it done. So
sure.
I'm your biggest fan. I was down at the show in Meriwether. I'm going to be down next week. What's the acoustic tour like?
I haven't started yet.
You haven't started yet, huh?
No, tonight's the first date we're doing, and basically what we're doing is a special gala performance for opening the Denver Performing Arts Center.
Oh, really?
And it's a whole bunch of opera and ballet and symphony and classical.
So it's more like a theater house? Or?
Yeah, this is a brand new place. It's like the largest facility, Performing Arts Center facility west of New York City.
Oh, really?
And
bigger than Chicago or any of those things, huh?
Yeah, see, that's what they tell me.
Yeah. Can you hold for just 1 second? I got a call buzzing in here.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. So this thing opens tonight, or?
Yeah, it's a nationally televised live broadcast on an arts and entertainment channel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I can watch it here then?
Yeah, it's I guess it's 10 to 11 your time.
Oh, great. So you're the headliner, or you're one of many?
Yeah, well, I'm basically the headliner. I'm closing the thing up except for some children's choirs, but Eugene Fedor and I and Tony Randall and a bunch of people. It's pretty neat.
So what kind of stuff are you going to be doing tonight?
I'm working with the orchestra.
Oh, really? So it's going to be symphonic?
We're doing, I'm going to do Bones in the Sky with the orchestra.
Oh, great. So what's your tour looking like at this point, or have you laid down the foundation for it?
It's there. It's about a three-week solo tour, basically just to, you know, get some word out about the live album and video, which has just been released last week.
See, I don't know anything about that. I haven't received it yet, so fill in the holes for me.
We recorded our show this summer at the Fox Theater in St. Louis, Missouri. And basically, we've just released a double live CD and a full-length concert video called Greetings from the West.
So this is an hour and a half kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And
the video is like about 100 minutes or something like that. It says on the package somewhere on there.
Okay. So it's a longer than...
Not neat. Yeah, it's not just a straight concert performance. And we did a lot of shooting down in my ranch and around New Mexico, and there's a lot of interview material in it. And I'm really excited about it. I'm really glad and pleased with the way it came out.
So did you participate in the editing process of it, or...?
Well, indirectly. I was doing the album while they were doing the video. This thing came together real fast.
Did you know before the summer even started that you were going to have something like this?
No. I mean, we got out on the road, and I was so pleased with the show, the way it was going and the way it was looking and everything, that when we got to New York City, and all the Epic people came to the show, and they threw a party for us afterwards, and I was going in there saying, man, I've got to hit these guys up to do this, you know. I was prepared to crawl across my tongue.
You have to actually crawl to get these things done?
Well, it's not the easiest things to get going, you know.
Well, you're not their biggest artist anymore, but, I mean, still a marquee name on their label, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean...
Absolutely. But a lot of times these people, you know, because live albums traditionally aren't big sellers anyway, so it's kind of hard to propose it. But I walked into the party and they just said, we've got to have this on tape and on video.
Now, did you ever have any inspiration to do a live album before?
Not really, no. No. These things almost have to happen on their own. You know, that's how this one felt. It was just the right timing. I wanted to do it. They wanted to do it. The band was there. The show was there. It was quick, and it was difficult, you know, because we didn't have a lot of time because we didn't start this before the tour.
Right.
Pretty organically while we were out there, but it really came off great. I'm really proud of it.
Now, with Wild Place, are you just super proud of that material in particular? Because, I mean, most of the show was Wild Place's stuff.
I think it's important music in my career. I think it's probably the best batch of songs I've had in 10 years or so. You know, I really enjoy what those songs are about. I think it's got a lot of heart in it, a lot of truth in it, and I'm very proud of that stuff.
Well, I mean, nature's not a new concept for you. I mean, I guess you've been proposing these things for quite some time.
Oh,
during your show, you've talked a lot about it. But I mean, how do you educate the public to recycle, and, you know, these old school people who just refuse to do these kinds of things?
It's just getting the information out there. I mean, we've just shown incredible results today. I mean, we're all ecstatic today because they actually just voted down the Anwar drilling proposal this morning. That's what we were working on this summer. The Arctic National Wildlife. wildlife refuge.
Okay, right. And okay.
They just voted it down this morning.
That's in Alaska.
It's dead.
It's dead.
Yep.
So
it does make a difference.
Well, who?
All the people that joined up because of the concerts this summer and all the work that the Wilderness Society did and the environmental community paid off. And they straight up this morning admitted that they couldn't believe that we had gotten so organized. And the oil companies said it's purely the environmental community that stopped this from happening.
Well, I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, with Henley doing what he's doing up in Walden Woods, how people just want to rape the land.
Yeah.
I just can't find any valor in that. I mean, there's got to be better spots to drill than in the middle of a national wildlife refuge.
Absolutely, and that's the point, you know. But these guys will do anything they can behind closed doors. They're like vampires in the sun, you know. If you can get them exposed and get the truth to the people, they can be stopped. I mean, they really laid down on this once week because, you know, they didn't think that the environmental community could really mount this big of a resistance to them.
Well, people are kind of pissed off enough, you know, after what happened with Exxon up there. I mean, people are real aware. Too bad it took a spill of that magnitude to wake people up to what happened.
People were also, I mean, the oil companies were also banking on the fact that Desert Storm had gotten them a big key to open that door, you know, because they were going to use the whole ploy of
we won the war. That kind of
oil production, right? So we won't have to fight another war for oil.
Right.
Which is bullshit. They didn't win, man. It's nice, you know, because you work all your life on things like this, and a lot of them are frustrating, and you lose. And it feels real good to win one.
Well, yeah, I mean, I talk to people, entertainers like yourself and like John Denver and Henley, and I've done interviews with all of you. Now, you're the last stepping stone in this in that triangle. But, I mean, you all talk about these kinds of things, and it's, I mean, how much do you think the people, just your regular fans, have to do with this? What percentage are you trying to get to make a difference?
Well, as many as possible, obviously. You don't know. I mean, people, we handed out a lot of information about this summer. And probably 10% of those people actually joined the Wilderness Society, you know, and wrote me letters and said that, yes, I have written my senators and congressmen, you know, so every little bit helps, you know. I mean, there's a significant amount of people that came on with this because of what we're doing this summer. It just feels really good to know that there are people out there that care if you get them the information. And, you know, you can't say, oh, I expect 50% of you people to do this or not. That's a personal conscience thing or something.
Right, right.
Or a personal motivation thing, probably. I imagine a lot of people going away from the concert were saying, yeah, let's stop this, you know.
Right.
And they put it on their bureau, you know, and forgot about it the next day.
Well, for you, I don't think you're not saying this, do this for me. You're saying do this for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's
the point.
That's the difference.
I have nothing to gain from this.
Right.
I live in Alaska.
Right.
But, I mean, it's a significant symbolic victory because we have stopped oil, finally. And at least for the time being. I mean, you know, they'll try again.
Sure.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, I talked to people at the Wilderness Society today, and they said, yeah, every 2.5 years or so they try to get up there.
Well, there's too much at stake for them, you know, financially.
Well, if it's high profile, they don't like that. You know, these guys like to work with nobody knowing what they're doing. If it's high profile, they back away. But now it's at least got us a 3-year grace period at least, where we can try to enact some real powerful and lasting wilderness designation.
Nip it at the bud next time before it even gets started.
Yeah, I mean, it's our turn now. They've got to stop us now, you know?
Right.
So we're kind of got the upper hand for a change, which is good. You know?
Way to go, Dan. With the sales of Wild Places now, has it been better than Exiles or?
About the same.
Now, where are they?
Oh, I'd say about 400,000 or so.
400,000 or so?
I don't really check that much, but, you know, it did as well as the last one.
Now, going back to Exiles, which is one of my favorite albums still, does this still hold significant meaning about your relationship with your wife? And I think that's what, I didn't get to interview you on that on the tour. But.
No, it was more more like an exorcism. You know, once that music was done and out and finished, I had moved way beyond that. You know, I'm remarried now and very happy. You know, that was just a period one had to go through. It'd be difficult to live through that as an artist and not make a statement about it because it's so consumptive. You know, I mean, it's very difficult until you do finally get free of that situation to deal with anything else.
But how easy is it to make such a public statement about it? I mean, you could write it as an exorcism for yourself, put it in your dresser drawer, and leave it there. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, do you have to put it out on the sleeve for the public? I mean, I'm glad you did, obviously.
That's what I had to wrestle with. I'm saying this is really personal stuff here, you know. Am I justified doing this? But the justification has come back, and what I thought it would is that it has been a very valuable tool for people who did go going through divorce, to know that it's been done by someone else. And the songs have a lot of healing in them. You know,
indeed.
Not negative and you know, hateful. I mean, it's the whole process. I look at it as like a circle of healing through that process.
It's truthful, not hateful.
And if it's done it, if it's helped other people get through that, then that's a very valuable piece of work, I think. I knew it wasn't going to be the most commercial piece of work I ever did.
Well, there was great stuff on there that, like, She Don't Look Back was, you know, perhaps one of the better rock songs you've done. They're playing that at AOR here, yeah. And that's just amazing to me that that wasn't a bigger hit.
Yeah, me too, but Top 40's gotten real narrow these days, you know. I mean, every time we try to go in with ballads, we try to go in with rockers, you know, and if you don't really conform to a certain sound, a certain type of songwriting, you know, and you know what that stuff is. You know.
Well, sure, I mean,
it's mindless.
It's tougher now than it was in 87 when that came out. I mean, every day it gets more dancey and...
Yeah, and narrower, you know. But Top 40's really returned to what it was, I think, in the early 60s, which is just basically a teenage dance.
Sugar.
Yeah, it's real bubblegummy, and it's for kids, you know, 14 to or 10 to 14 or something. And so, you know, as long as I still got a good base on adult contemporary and some of the other formats, then that's fine, because all I care about is letting people know that I have an album out, you know. That's
right.
The main thing. I mean, obviously, if you get the big hit, you're going to sell 2 or 3 million records. You know, Don's proved that.
Right.
You know, but his music has really been made more towards that format, you know. I mean, those are pretty dancey records. The snare drums, you know, are as big as a room on those records.
Right.
But I respect that. He's been able to walk a good balance between that Top 40 thing and still saying something artistically.
Are you friends with Don?
Oh, yeah, we go way back.
Yeah, I thought you were. I mean, there's certain connections in that whole L.A. thing that happened back in the 70s, I guess.
We grew up together. I mean, I was out opening for the Eagles for years before I happened, you know. I mean, so we spent a lot of years and a lot of miles together on the road.
We
still see each other occasionally.
I admire his work tremendously.
I do. He's done a really good job of transcending what the Eagles were.
Did he invite you to do the New York shows a couple weeks ago?
Huh?
Did he invite you to do the Walden Wood shows 2 weeks ago?
I haven't heard from him. I wasn't even around then. I remember hearing Irving say he was going to New York to do something with Don, but I wasn't sure what it was.
Yeah,
it was Walden again. Huh?
Yeah, they did 2 shows at Madison Square with Billy Joel, Paul Simon.
Oh, yeah. I remember hearing something about that.
Yeah, I wasn't sure whether you got an invite or not. But,
no, I wasn't around.
I wish I would have gone up and seen them, but they were in the middle of the week, which is like, you know, how are you going to get a Friday and Saturday night date at the Garden
right.
in the middle of...
That's really good. I mean, that's a high power. That must have raised a shitload of money for the cause, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, and Don's like terribly in debt organizationally for Walden, because they've already plopped down several $1 million just to get a piece of that land back.
Yeah.
They're getting it piece by piece now.
Yeah.
And just hoping somebody doesn't come in there and try to drive in a parking lot at some point, I think.
Right. Well, we all got our little patch, you know, and it's good that, you know, people are getting involved, because you can't do it all, you know.
Hey, if you didn't have your pet up in Alaska, you know, there'd be rigs up there right now.
Well,
you know?
Maybe. I don't think that I was the turning point in it.
Well, you and several other people, but, I mean, it's probably really a handful of people that start this thing.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah.
You know? It was really kind of a small thing, and it's just really good to win one. And I hope Don can pull it off for Walden, too. That's great.
One more thing about XLs that I've been meaning to ask you, and I swear if I ever got you on the phone, I would. The broken glass on the back, the one. Whose idea?
Mine. I was sitting in my house one night alone drinking some wine, and I accidentally hit the glass, and it broke like this crescent moon. And I thought, boy, that looks like blood. It looks like my blood on the table.
What a statement.
And, yeah, I thought it was pretty symbolic. It was a good image. It was really difficult because I lost my housekeeper, threw away the glass. I was going to save it, right?
And so, she had to break another one.
Well, we had to break dozens.
To get it to look like that.
To get it to look like that. And it was so funny. They kept trying and trying. I wasn't there when they did it. It was at a commercial photography studio in Los Angeles. And my road manager was there, and they kept trying and trying to do it correctly, right? And he finally said, no, I mean, when he did it, he just did it like that. And he hit it, and it broke just like it. It was amazing. And so they took the photograph.
That's great. A great story, because I use that as an example in my communications design as something that is so symbolic. You know, that is, you may have never seen a broken wine glass like that, but you see it on the back of the album cover, and you think, broken relationship. There
yeah.
it is.
Yeah. And
that
what?
Says it all.
The red wine, you know, which usually is a celebration, you know, and a fulfillment, you know.
You know, like a wedding glass. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, anyway, what are you going to do on the acoustic show? What can we expect when you come in?
Oh, a little bit of everything. I've got some new songs I'm premiering. A lot of the stuff that is on the live album and the live video will be included.
Same show every night, or are you a little flex? Or
I've basically been doing the same show every night, yeah.
And it's just you, or do you have acoustic people?
Just me. Guitars and pianos.
All right.
It's fun.
Well, sounds great. I really look forward to seeing it. And I get back and say hello to you for a change. The night you were at Meriwether, you weren't feeling well. I think it was like the last night of your tour.
I was sick after the show. It was really weird. I didn't feel bad on stage. And then once I stopped, I just like kind of fell down, you know.
Look for me in Washington. You'll see me down there.
Okay.
Thanks, Dan.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.